Welcome to the Title League podcast. My name is Trish, and with me today is my guy, KB.
What's up, Trish?
Doing okay. We have a pretty exciting show waiting for us. With us today from Salt Lake City, Utah, is Austin Eastman. Austin is the co-founder of the Odyssey Sports Group. Austin, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on. I'm excited for today.
So let's get started with just a little bit of background on you, Austin. Where are you from? What got you into the sports world? Just tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, okay. So I'm from Montana originally. Grew up there, spent my whole life there up until I left for college, followed my brother to the University of Utah, where I walked on my junior year. I didn't make the basketball team in high school, so I kind of had a rough go of it trying to get onto a team and get recruited. So went to Utah just for school, kind of worked my way. I was a manager for 6 months, and then pretty much all the stars aligned, and everything that needed to happen happened, and we had like 8 players injured, and they just needed a body that had a pulse on the court. So they added me to the walk-on list, and I played there for 3 years while I was getting my degree in mechanical engineering. And through that process, I kind of felt like, you know, my passion was basketball. It's all I ever knew and wanted to do. So I got my master's in sports management, and luckily one of my coaches had a connection to an agency. And during the time, my team was pretty good, and we had a lot of players going to the NBA and getting drafted. So I got an opportunity with a sports agency called ASM Sports. They were the ones that were involved in the FBI trials later on. But yeah, so I worked with them for about a year and a half, was able to be an intern for a little bit and then take more responsibility handling the pre-draft operations. And after that, I just kind of felt like it was time to get going and start my own agency. So I've been building this agency for about 3 years now.
So Austin, where did your love for the game start?
I was 3 years old. My uncle gave me a basketball hoop, put it in my front yard, and that was pretty much it. I played a little bit of soccer growing up, but pretty much every single day, rain, snow, cold, warm, I was just in that hoop, like in my front yard playing on that hoop. And it just, I don't know why, you know, I guess just there's certain things that everyone's attracted to, but for me in my life, and you know, that was like the one thing that I always cared about. And it was just like my one focus. Every day I woke up dreaming I'd be an NBA player. And every day I went to bed dreaming I would be an NBA player. But it turns out I can't jump and I'm pretty slow. So that didn't work.
So at what point, I mean, you know, you don't make your high school team. You're at Utah. At what point did you actually start to realize that, wow, I might actually play Division I basketball?
You know, I always in my mind knew I was going to do it. That was just kind of my thought. And leading up to it was actually probably the first time in my life that I actually would say that I was almost doubting myself. You know, between mechanical engineering, being a manager, which is probably the most intensive job you could do in college, and then, you know, training still, I was going to bed at 2 a.m, crying myself to sleep every night, thinking to myself, this isn't going to happen. And then, you know, one day it just hit, and they came in and told me, you know, if you're ready to do this, go to the storage room and get a bunch of gear and get a number, go get your test done. And we have practice in an hour and a half and be back and ready to play. So yeah, it just kind of hit me like a brick wall, and it was incredible.
Honestly, I can't. I mean, I'm not going to get over this. This is like every kid's dream. I'm the nerd in the mechanical engineering class. Nobody's ever calling me into a game. Like, this is like, that really is. That's a great story. You should always lead with that story, Austin. That's hilarious. That's really something. That's really something. Quite an accomplishment. But let's get right into it. We're talking about your agency, and there's a lot of questions. So you and your brother Trevor started Odyssey a few years ago. You're a boutique agency, and you're stacked up against some big names with deep pockets. Why does somebody want to sign with you?
You know, I think the biggest draw for us is, I almost like to tell people, you know, I'm not an agent, because I don't like the connotation that an agent brings and what an agent represents. You know, and I'm not saying there's bad agents or good agents. I'm just saying the stigma behind it's kind of bad. And for me, I think we just bring a different perspective. You know, so much about this agency business is, you know, relationships and just having a great relationship with the player and finding him the most money on the court. Whereas I think my brother and I kind of took a look at it, and through all the players, you know, that I've been involved with in my basketball background, I see that, you know, there's a lot of players who, me starting a company, barely making ends meet, you know, I have a better financial portfolio than a lot of these guys, you know. And so for me, it's about looking at these players not as, you know, young kids with a lot of money that can do whatever they want, but as a startup. You know, all of these players, when they enter the league, they're a startup business. And to take that a step further, pretty much every athlete that you see on TV, if you consider them a business, you know, they multiply their income so much, but they also feed a lot of families. You know, they have a lot of people under them that are employees. And so their business is booming. You know, it's a huge part of the industry. And, you know, you take LeBron, for example. Like, if LeBron wasn't LeBron, how many people's families wouldn't be getting fed every night? You know, how many people make their living off of LeBron James, you know, whether it be in different industries, the media, you know, everything, like just the people that work the games, you know, he brings up the value of everyone. So we kind of took the approach of like, how do we turn these players into businesses and look at it as a startup? So, you know, we as Odyssey kind of take it as, hey, listen, we're going to be your CEO. We're going to help you build your businesses. Your career only lasts so long, and sooner or later, your market value will decrease. So how, as that market value decreases as a basketball player, do we find other streams of revenue to make sure that when you're done playing basketball, you still have a capture of the market? And so that's kind of our goal, and I think that's what sets us apart. My brother and I, we've been involved in multiple investments from the ground up, and you know, we've seen two companies in the last couple of years reach eight-figure valuations that, you know, started with not even like a cent in their pocket. And you know, we invested and we're lucky to be a part of such amazing companies. But we think we can bring that to the athlete side, which is unique.
I love that, Austin. And, you know, just building on that, I'm not an agent. A lot of times, you're right, agents have a bad rap. It's similar to that used car salesman mentality, as far as that's what people associate it with. And you're almost leading and trailblazing the next generation of agents to come. You know, you're at the forefront of that. If you look at agents today, most of them aren't in their 20s. So to build on that and what you're saying, as Odyssey is the CEO of these athletes brands, you're right. I mean, LeBron is, if you look at him, he's providing GDP as if he's a country for tons of other brands and people. So it's amazing to hear that's what you're doing. You have the experience with the, you know, in the startup world and familiarizing these athletes today with, you know, you're going to play for, who knows, it could be 3 years, could be 10 years, could be 20. But more importantly, you have to look at everything around you so that you set yourself up for success afterwards. So with that being said, my question to you is, how do you earn respect in an industry like this where you have to speak to GMs on the daily? You're at different events, whether it's the NBA Summer League, the NBA Draft. How do you get people to take you seriously when you're the youngest guy in the room?
You know, that was probably the first 2 years of me being in business is figuring out how to gain respect. And, you know, I struggled at the beginning. Like, obviously, you know, playing where I did, I have a bunch of very close friends that I would consider family who are NBA players and making a lot of money. And it was, you know, using them almost as a way of monitoring my respect in the business and figuring out the best way to build my value. And I think the first of all, it just comes from doing it. You know, being there, constantly hitting the pavement, not giving up when things get hard, but, and just knowing your stuff and being honest. You know, I've missed out on a lot of players that I've recruited, I think, for the simple fact that agent A was telling them, hey, listen, I'm going to get you drafted. And I myself was telling them, hey, listen, there's probably about a 1% chance you're getting drafted. And if I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see that 1% happening. And a lot of people don't like that. But my biggest thing is, you know, just be honest with them and let the cards fall where they lay and see what happens. So for me, it's just a matter of just continuing to work hard and building. And I think another thing that we did is we didn't rush into it. There's a lot of people when they start as an agent and as an agency that they immediately want to jump in and try to get players. You know, for me, it was, let's build this team, you know, work with a few players. And, you know, I had three guys on my roster up until this last year, when now we've grown it to 14 players. But at the time, I was comfortable with the players I had. They were people I had relationships with, former teammates and guys I had played against. And I was continuing to work for them. But while I was doing that, I was building a team around me. So now that when we go into a meeting, I can say, hey, listen, it's me and these three agents that I work with. You know, we have a media team. We have a PR team. We have a marketing team. You know, we have a business acumen that we can now improve your career. So I think it was just a matter of timing and just continuing to work hard.
I agree. I mean, that's the biggest part, right? It takes, you know, when you think about an agent, it takes relationships. Relationships are the single most important aspect of this industry, if not business in general. So, yeah. You know, with that being said, what does a day in the life of Austin Eastman look like?
So, you know, it's funny because I'm a very scheduled person. I like to have a very routine day, and the agency business is kind of just the opposite. You never know what to expect. So if I'm at home, my normal day is I wake up at 7, do about an hour on the stock market, just watching the squawk. After that, I do my German lesson, and by that time the markets are starting to open up. So I'll start talking to different teams and kind of just getting a feel for everyone. And then after that, you know, we're getting around 10 a.m. and that's when my players start waking up. So I can start talking to them a little bit and kind of getting their feel.
Can you just stop for a second?
Yeah.
Your German lessons? You're learning German.
Yep, I'm learning German. It's a good market. And I just think that it's a good opportunity to just learn. My biggest thing is, you know, you just kind of continue to get better. So, you know, I'm taking online classes too in different financial classes, just trying to get better and learn as much as I can. So I know as much as I can. That's my biggest thing is.
You may be one of my favorite people that we've ever interviewed on this show. So do you speak any other languages?
No, I took Chinese in high school, but it was pretty difficult. So I took a couple of years. I know very little with Chinese, but German, a couple of my teammates in college spoke it. One was from Austria, one was from Germany. And, you know, they kind of always said, like, you should learn it so then we can talk about people when we're around them. And I kind of just, like, always joked around, like, oh, yeah, I'll learn it. And then I just started learning it, and it's actually a pretty great language. So I'm just kind of working through it and trying to learn as much as I can. I'm not the fastest learner, but we'll get there sooner or later.
So I'm Lebanese, and a lot of my friends growing up did not speak Arabic. So I made sure that they knew enough so that we could talk about people without them knowing we were talking about them. Okay,
exactly.
I'm sorry.
It's a pretty cool code.
I interrupted you. It's 10 a.m. Your players are waking up. Okay.
Yeah, so that's normally when I just start talking to my players, seeing how they're doing, what they're doing, what, you know, their workouts and all that. You know, and from about 10 to noon, I'd probably say I'm talking to them while just kind of continuing talking to teams. It's very much so heavily based on being on the phone most of the days. And for the rest of the day, you know, I spend a lot of time with our investments and working through those and, you know, looking for new investments as well as working through the ones that we have, continuing to help them grow. And then, you know, that gets me to, obviously not right now, but during like the normal time of life, about 4 o'clock when I start watching basketball. And from about 4 to probably 10:30 or 11, I just watch basketball all day. And like, I think that a lot of people would say, oh man, that's a boring life. But 6 hours a day of basketball is pretty much as good as it will ever get for me. That's I love doing it. So that's what I do. And obviously, if I'm traveling, which I do a lot, my schedule changes. I try to do all those things. But in that time, it's a lot of, you know, preparing for a game or meeting with the player and actually spending time with them in person and discussing strategies and such.
So since travel is limited or restricted and there aren't any games to watch, apart from that, how else has COVID impacted your business and how are you keeping yourself busy?
So, you know, like I said, I'm taking a few classes now during this time, but it honestly kind of gave us the opportunity to look back at our strategy and find new ways of representing our clients. So, for example, without any pre-draft workouts, we kind of took the decision of, you know, a player is not going to be able to show his worth. So we have to show his worth. So for the last month, I've spent a lot of time doing kind of a deep data analytics dive, going into the advanced stats and such, and finding every value that a player brings, and trying to present that in a form that teams can easily understand and use to evaluate a player. So for us, instead of just calling a team and having that relationship with the GM to say, hey, listen, man, like, this is a guy, you need to check him out. Instead, we're going to send him a 10-page packet of every single stat that we can find that really shows how he's going to help his team, and then the film that goes with it. And so when he gets it, he can say, okay, I believe you, I trust you that he's a good player, but all of this information and the video that you provided, I know he's a good player. Now this is someone that I'm going to really focus on and look into. So I think that's kind of how we're trying to change the game now. And having COVID happen was a good thing for us in the fact that we were able to take advantage of that.
We're in a different time. There's been a few different reports that have surfaced, you know, where workouts are going to be different. The NBA draft is going to be different. What are you hearing, and what do you think about the idea of virtual workouts, teams connecting through, you know, different platforms, whether it's FaceTime, Zoom, to watch players work out? And more importantly, how do you think that will shape the draft?
I think the draft is definitely going to be different. I think that for one, I really think that this draft will be a lot more focused. And honestly, I think teams will be a little bit more prepared for this draft. I think a lot of the times that players go through the tournament, you'll always see those one or two players in the tournament that just go off, and all of a sudden they're getting drafted. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, you know. But I think now teams are having to look and say, okay, we got to really do a dive on every single one of these players. We're not going to see them in a workout for 2 hours. And I think that's one of the problems with the draft. A kid could come in to a workout for 2 hours with a team and be the best player in the gym and just have his day, you know. I had a few of those days where I was the best player in the gym, even though I know I wasn't. And so that kind of skews the draft. Yeah, exactly. Everyone has those days, you know. Sometimes it's just your day in the sun. So I think this draft, I think we'll be a lot more focused on what a player's actual capabilities are. But as far as the Zoom and things like that, it's going to change it. And I don't know how well it will be for a team to watch a player's workout. And I know they're not allowing them to do that right now. That may change once there's more clarity. But right now, teams aren't allowed to watch players' workouts. They're only allowed to interview them. So they're getting a lot more face-to-face with them. So I think that will help the teams get to know the player as a person and evaluate them as a person. But as far as the on-court stuff, you saw a lot of kids in the draft that maybe most years would have stayed, but are going back to school. And I think that's just for the simple fact that there's going to be less on-court time and information. So what you did on the court during your season the last year is what teams are going to be looking at.
So do you think that a lot of emphasis prior to this was put onto personality and put onto how a player would actually mesh with the team and with the management more so than what talent they bring to the court?
Partially. I think that obviously the top 10 or 15 guys, those guys with their talent levels, most teams are going to say, listen, we got to take the risk on this, and we'll form the players' habits and personality, you know, hopefully through time, and kind of use our culture to develop that. Whereas the rest of the players, I think that was very much so the case for years and for past years. But I think this year, I think they will definitely be taking that into consideration more. There's players in this draft, you know, there's a top 10 kid who, you know, he doesn't shower and he's a very weird kid. Most people have told me, and I think that his draft, your stock, you're going to see fall a lot. Whereas, like, you know, the kids that everyone likes and they've never had anything bad say about them, I think they're going to raise their stock a little bit and be drafted a little bit higher, just because they don't have that on-court workout to be able to prove to them, like, my on-court stuff is good enough to change the off-court stuff.
Exactly. It's going to be a very different draft altogether. And, you know, for the good, bad, I mean, it might weed out a lot of that, and you'll actually get a real player profile that is maybe more true.
Yeah.
You know, just moving on to, you know, you don't make your high school team, you walk on at Utah, you're in mechanical engineering, you do your master's in sports management, you're an entrepreneur now. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I started a business in the sports space. You've started a business in the sports space. There's a lot of young people that want to be in this space. They want to get into it. They don't know how. And for the most part, the industry is saturated with baby boomers, if we're going to call a spade a spade. What kind of advice can you give to the young, you know, the young people coming out of university that want to get into this space? How do you do it? where do you start, and what advice would you give someone who's graduating today?
You know, I always tell people, kind of with everything I've done in my life, I've gotten very lucky. And I think in order to be successful, you have to be very lucky. But when that luck comes, you have to be ready for the opportunity. And that comes from preparation. So whether it was, you know, me being a walk-on, you know, when I got that opportunity, like I said, the stars aligned. But I was also putting in 6 to 8 hours a day in the gym, working out for 4 or 5 years before that, preparing for that one moment. And then, you know, me becoming an agent, yeah, I was lucky enough to have friends and a coach that gave me that opportunity. But I was also preparing. I got my master's. I was learning. I was reading the CBA. I was reading through contracts. So I think, you know, the most important thing that someone can do trying to get into business, and whether trying to be an agent, because I get this question a lot as an agent, or just trying to, you know, start your own business, whatever it may be, it's about being prepared. You know, don't jump into something unless you know what you're doing. Work at it. Make sure that you have a plan. I think that a lot of people with, you know, give it to me now kind of days we live into, everything at the tip of your finger, that they just expect it right away. You know, this is something that's going to take time no matter how hard you work. You know, we're in year three, and, you know, we're not in the green yet. You know, I gave myself a 5-year window, and that was just something that I kind of always learned is, you know, a startup business needs at least 5 years to really take off. And sometimes it's sooner, sometimes it's later, but it's just a matter of kind of continuing every single day, showing up. You're going to see a lot of your peers on a Friday night at the club having fun. You're going to see a lot of your peers Saturday morning sleeping in, and you're going to be the kid that's staying home on a Friday night working, and no kid on Saturday morning who wakes up early. You know, you're going to be the kid that's not buying new things because you don't have the money to, because your money's focused on the business. And so I saw a quote, I don't know who it's from, but it kind of stuck with me in college, and it was, pay the price today so you can pay any price tomorrow. And that's what I kind of think you have to have the mindset of is, you know, what are you going to sacrifice today so you can have everything you want tomorrow?
Big facts, man, big facts. And, you know, you got to make a decision. That's the advice I tell people in the, you know, that are looking out. You got to be prepared. You have to make a decision. It's going to take time. You know, everybody wants to be their own boss, but nobody wants to put in the time. And, yep. You know, in year three, you understand that you set yourself out with a 5-year runway. You also have people that you trust. So you've got great partners in your brother. I see you've got a fellow friend of both of ours mutually in Swish, and Swish is great as well. So you've obviously surrounded yourself around, you know, great people. How important was it starting out to really figure out who are the people that are going to dive into this with me and go all in? Because it takes a team effort, and obviously you can't do it by yourself, but it is also very difficult to choose the right people. So how did you pick those people?
I think that's the most important thing that you can possibly do when starting a business. I think the most important thing is trust. Can you trust the person? Another thing is, what are they going to bring to the table? And what I'm talking about there is not like, oh, this guy's going to bring money to the table, or this guy's going to bring this expertise. It's more of, are they going to bring that same consistency that you want? You know, my brother, my best friend, my, like, pretty much my rock, but I couldn't tell you, and I don't think he could tell you how many times I've called him and kind of said, oh man, like, it's not working. I can't do this. You know, and got down on myself, and he was that person along with my mom and my family, but that kind of is continually in my ear. Like, no, you can do this. Like, you know, this is going to take time. And he was that rock that kind of kept me going when those days where I had been on the road for 5 weeks straight and I was sleeping in an airport floor because my flight got delayed or I missed the flight or something. And it's 30 degrees in the Chicago O'Hare Airport because it gets cold in there. And you're sitting there like, man, like, I just want to go home and I don't want to do this anymore. So picking the team is important. You know, with Swish, it was one of those things. He came into our life, and obviously that man's crazy, the things he's done already. So him having some of the experiences that we were trying to get into, and him building a company as well, it was surrounding myself with people that all had the same interest. You know, my brother, Swish, Trevor, we're all starting businesses, which all trying to go. We're sacrificing today for tomorrow. You know, all of my partners, Solomon, Trey, Andrew, Chuck, like all of these guys that I work with my business, you know, we kind of had the idea of, we're not taking salaries. It's you know, we get commission, and we're sharing the commission, and we're all just trying to slowly survive until we get to that point where all of a sudden we can start making real money. But right now it's just about making those sacrifices and finding the people that will make the sacrifices with you. And when it gets hard, they're not going to run away. You know, they're going to be on your left and right shoulder pushing forward with you.
I agree. That's huge, man. You need people that are willing to go to war with you, people that are going to lock down with you. So it's big. And you know, you're not in the space of a business that doesn't cost a lot of money. You need financial backing. You know, there might be a time you get a call now or you get a notification. You got to jump on a flight. You got to be in LA. Or maybe you've got a client who's working out for a team in Toronto and you got to get up there. You know, those are the sacrifices, really, is how do you put yourself in a position to be readily available?
And like you said, those are, it's not a cheap business. And, you know, like it was one of those things where my brother and I decided we weren't going to take on funding. So, you know, for example, like I think last year I spent 80 some nights sleeping on the floor of an airport just for the simple fact that, you know, you could book a flight at 5 a.m. and spend 2 hours in a hotel and then go over, or you could just sleep on the floor for a few hours, take a quick nap, and then head to the flight, and then you get home at 8 a.m. and take another quick nap there and start your day off. So, you know, you save $100 there, $100 here, $100 there. So it's about cutting prices. And, you know, those are some of the sacrifices you make. But I think that the best thing you can do when it comes to that is planning. And obviously, you know, you might have a client that wants you there that day. You need to go somewhere and you have to just kind of go with that. But I try to plan as much as I can. The schedule comes out whatever day it does. And I have a list of players I'm recruiting. And I have a list of all their schedules. And it's a few days of just kind of pinpointing, like, okay, I could go here, rent a car, drive there, drive there, drive there. I'm only gone 5 days and I'm catching 7 games or something. You know, it's a lot of planning that goes into it, you know, and it saves money and it keeps you prepared and kind of helps with the longevity.
Of course. I mean, you have agencies that have, you know, multi-million dollar portfolios. So you're up against that and it's really tough at times. You know, you played with some great guys at Utah, obviously Kuz, DeLon, Jakob. You know, those guys are all in the league. They've had great starts to their careers. As friends, what kind of advice do they give you?
They've been great, you know, and I think, you know, I just kind of use them as a resource of, hey, listen, like, what do you guys think of this? And what do you think of this? And obviously, they are very helpful on the fact of introducing me to people and giving me the connections, you know, to different people. But their biggest advice is, you know, just kind of keep going. It's something that takes time and you just got to continue to build. But yeah, like, I think they're more helpful on the front of, you know, they've been through the process and they know what they wanted, you know, coming out of college, and they know what they want going to their second contract. And so to be able to pick their minds, you know, is great. I was talking to DeLon a couple of weeks ago about some business opportunities and how to structure them. And, you know, he gave me like the best advice possible and related it to his career. And this is how it works. And, you know, those things are very helpful.
You said earlier that when you're up against some other agents who are promising an athlete that they're going to be drafted if they sign with them and you're being honest, you really put honesty as one of the selling features for you guys as an agency. But what about also the focus of making sure that they have a wide portfolio and that they're more than an athlete? How often does that conversation win or gain confidence in you guys from players?
I think it definitely wins and gain confidence. And like I said, you know, us at Odyssey Sports Group, we're competing against the top agencies, the CEAs, the Octagon, Excel, Rich Paul with Clutch, like, all of these guys we're competing against, and you know, we're able to get into the same room with a lot of these players. And, you know, we lose out a lot of the times, but those are the things that are keeping us involved. You know, like I said, you know, we don't have the huge checkbook to write a player a check, you know, a marketing grants, things like that. Instead, we're kind of just telling them, listen, these are the things we can do for your future. And they like to hear it. You know, I think that the players before the last generation, you know, like the LeBrons, Kevin Durant is huge with his 35 ventures. You know, Steph Curry is doing a great job, Kobe and everything he's done. All of these guys are not just basketball players anymore. And it goes with any sport. There's players that are players, and then there's players who, like, they consider moguls. And, you know, the next generation all want to become that mogul. They want to set up their family, you know, there's two types of money. There's being rich and there's being wealthy. Pretty much every player will be rich, but how many players will be wealthy? And I think every player wants to be wealthy, but they just don't know what it takes to get there. But the end game is for these players to live a great life, yeah. But when they're dead and gone and their grandkids' kids are looked at, they can say, oh, they have old money. You know, they have generational wealth. And I think that's a goal. And so these guys really like to hear it. And that's kind of where I see the future of this business going. They want to get into other things. They want to do other things. And the shut up and dribble kind of act really even empowered players more to, you know, we're more than an athlete. We're going to do more things. We're going to change the world we live in.
So, but how do you instill in them, or how do you get past that I want it right now mentality, or that, you know, instant gratification? Because what you're talking about, and going back to what you were saying about the time that you put in the gym when you were playing and the years before you actually got the walk on, like, that isn't something that can be instilled in somebody from 18. That's usually something that has to happen early on. So when you're up against these guys and they love the idea of being more than an athlete, they look at LeBron, they look at Kobe, they want these things, they like the idea of generational wealth so that their grandkids are going to. But how do you offset that positivity with the, you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit right now, or it's not going to come right away, or you can't be, or you can't be blinded by the offer that comes right away and what happens in that first year? You have to be thinking long term. How do you fight that?
I think there's two things. That I think the first one goes back to who we recruit. You know, you can tell pretty early when talking to someone where their interests lie and what they're focused on. And so, you know, we make sure we recruit the right types of players. You know, what we're providing is very much so specific to a group of players. You know, it's not everyone that wants to do this. You know, I have former teammates of mine who are making a lot of money, and they have no interest in doing anything but just saving that money and collecting it and knowing that they're going to live a simple life for the rest of their life. And that's what they're interested in. That's okay. And, you know, I love them for that. That's, they're doing a great job of what they want to do. So it's about finding the right kids, first of all. And then secondly, it's about providing the plan. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, listen, man, we're going to get you generational wealth. But it's another thing to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We've done it before. Here's how it is. Step one, step two, step three, step four, down the list, and make sure that they know exactly what we're doing. And I think that's the key point, is making sure that everyone is on board and ready to go forward with every single thing we do. So when we sit down with them, and this is something that obviously I do when I recruit, it's not so much about building a relationship. It's kind of showing them what I'm doing, helping them realize, like, these are the steps that you have to take. And I think that's the way you combat it. At the same time, like, it's tough, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, you know, I still go through the phases sometimes when I get down on myself and I was like, I need it now. I need it now. I see all my peers doing well. I'm like, I need it. I need to do this. I need to do this. So you have to really help them take the step back and say, listen, like, this kid's going to go buy a Maserati or a Lamborghini, what, I don't know, cars, whatever the expensive cars are. And, you know, this one's going to go to vacation in Cabo and spend $50,000. Well, we're going to put some money in your portfolio and we're going to invest in this company. And, you know, we're going to start working with these brands on an equity base instead of, you know, getting paid. And, you know, honestly, we may take a lesser deal from a team than a bigger deal because it's what best suits you. You know, a lot of times people think like, oh, this agency got me the most money with this team. Well, was getting the most money with that team the most valuable thing you could have done, or going to this team where the opportunities off the court are better and, you know, the businesses around you are better and your teammates are better? And those are the things that, like, we want to really focus on, and we want to show the guys, this is how you differentiate yourself, and these are the reasons why you're doing it.
Exactly. I mean, that's big time in the fact that, you know, you're balancing not just relationships, you're balancing egos. You've got young guys, they get an influx of money. They also have a sense of entitlement. I mean, they want everything. Yeah. And I can only imagine what that must be like, especially when you're also balancing all of the obstacles in your life and being, you know, someone who is younger in this space. It can also be your best weapon. It can also be a detriment. So I completely hear what you're saying. So as far as the future of Odyssey, where do you want it to go? Where do you see it in the next 5 years?
You know, I don't want to put boundaries on it or what I want to do. Basically for us, our goal is just to continue to work with good players, you know, and grow. you know, get to a point, obviously, where we're in the green and we're able to continue to help as many players as we can. We want a small boutique agency feel for the rest of what we do. But for us, it's just about building these companies for the players. And like I said, every player should be considered a business and a company itself, and, you know, kind of continuing to help those players build what's around them. Obviously, you know, we're going to take the next steps and get further into the business. And, you know, beyond that, I don't really have much to say on it. You know, I want to build my team more and grow those guys. But
first and foremost,
there's so many possibilities.
You love the game, and that's the most important piece. I mean, you can't be in this space if you don't love it as much as you do, right?
No. I would not be able to do what I do if it wasn't for the fact that I completely enjoy watching film till 2 a.m. on random players from small colleges. You know, that's what I like to do. That's my enjoyment. That's my passion.
Well, there we go. That's what separates you. I mean, you're willing to put in the work, and obviously you got to love it. I mean, I love the game, and I could eat, breathe, sleep basketball 24/7. So I second everything you're saying.
Awesome. Yes, sir. We have a few final questions to ask you, and these are just a little bit more fun to wrap things up. Don't think too much, but answer as best as you can. Okay. So the first one is, if you were to write your biography today, what would you title it?
Failing Forward. I don't know if that's the title of a book already, but it sounds pretty good.
It's a good answer. Which actor would you get to play you in a movie?
Ryan Reynolds. He's my favorite actor. I don't look anything near as good as him, but Ryan Reynolds.
And if you had to pick one TV show that is the most like your life, what would it be?
My favorite TV show is Friends, so I'd probably say that.
Okay. Austin, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time, and it's been fascinating to hear all about Odyssey Sports Group. Wish you guys so much luck in the future, and look forward to seeing how you guys grow.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me, and I love being on. And, you know, if you guys ever need a host, or not a host, but a guest again, I'm here.
Awesome. Austin, that's awesome, man. We appreciate you. We had a lot of fun, and just listening to your story, I can relate to a ton of it, because I may not be an agent, but we're in this space, and, you know, it's an uphill battle every single day. So I respect it, and I love it, man. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.